The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
One of the most recognizable landscape features of the Phoenix area is Camelback Mountain, standing at 2,700 feet above elevation at the peak, doesn't even break the top 150 lists of Arizona's tallest mountains. But yet more people are rescued off of Camelback Mountain than any other mountain in Arizona. One of the main reasons for that is that it's a park, not a preserve. Yeah. So you're not required to stay on the trails. It's just suggested. And the majority of those people rescued were not on the trail.
Hmm. And mostly from out of town, too.
And I've got an interesting text question here from somebody listening to the program. This one's actually for you, Mr. Montgomery.
Yes.
It says, how do I volunteer at the Hall of Flame Museum? I was in service in upstate New York for 23 years, and I want to be a part of it.
Oh, I love questions like that because, yes, we're constantly accepting new volunteers, and it's quite easy to do. We have regularly scheduled meetings, and all of that information is on our website, halloflame.org. So we would welcome that participation.
Now, I just got to know, when the volunteers are there, and it's a late Friday night, and they've got the jump trampolines...
Haven't seen it yet.
No one's practiced?
You know, the only guy I ever met that I know of, at least, that it was on one of my tours, he had been a firefighter in this little town in Colorado. And he said it was these dirt poor miners, and they had these pressed sawdust houses. And if it caught on fire, you weren't putting it out.
Boom.
Yeah, he said our motto was, we never saved a house, but we never lost a yard. That was But he actually volunteered when he was 17. He was in his 80s when I talked to him. When he was 17 years old, they had one of those life nets like you see in the movies. And he jumped off the roof of one of these little houses probably, and he got hurt. It tore open his leg. He was in his 80s. He said he still had the scars.
Oh, man.
It didn't work well for the only person I know who ever used one of those things.
Well, you know, you've got to think twice. But when you've mm-hmm. got a house on fire immediately behind you, an open door in front of you,
yeah.
and that life net below you,
yeah.
the decision, I have to believe, is pretty easy.
Yeah, it makes itself.
Pretty yes. motivating, yes.
What,
it is.
What temperature are you experiencing in that kind of environment?
Well, I'll tell you, it's most fires at the floor level are in the hundreds of degrees, and of course, as you get close to the ceiling, it's in the thousands. So 1,200 degrees at the ceiling is a pretty standard. So if you're standing up in a fire, then your head and chest area are being subjected to 500 and 600 degrees, and you know
that life net looks pretty inviting.
Yeah,
it does. And I, you know, it's funny you mention it. I was a friend of mine's an LA city firefighter, and so they've gone from the life nets to more like an inflatable bag that quickly inflates with a high pressure bottle, and they still practice that from their drill tower. So they set it up quickly. You've probably seen it used on rescues where people were considering jumping off the freeway bridges or something like that. So they had each of these in this class I went and watched graduate. They had each
wow.
of them jump and dive into the bag.
Well, you've got over 100 pieces of some of the most incredible firefighting equipment assembled anywhere. Do your best and get a big invite out there for all of our listeners.
I will absolutely do that. We certainly do our best to honor the fire service and the legacy. Of course, you know, going back, it's not only, and I really have to emphasize, it's not only about the fire service. This is about American history. I mean, when you come in and you learn about the fire department's transition through these centuries, you're really learning about American history because the fire service in many communities was the first organized body that everything else built on, right? So, you know, the formation of city councils and leadership of small towns and villages and cities kind of revolved around this need to make sure fires could be put out.
Ugh.
And so it's a lesson, and I hope all of our Arizona school children get to come through the museum. I hope all of our retired firefighters that are in our community hope to volunteer there. And I really would love to see all Valley firefighters. If you haven't been down, please come and visit us. You'll be impressed.
Now, they had a fire engine named after the Arizona pitcher, Randy The big unit.
Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson.
Is that fire engine still around, or have y'all got that in a museum yet?
That was actually, it's not in a museum. It was, that was one that was used by the Phoenix Fire Department, and I think it's since retired. I can't speak for it exactly. It may be in reserve status right now, but that was, yeah, that was quite the fire engine, quite the ladder truck. And we have a lot of those in the valley. That's really what it breaks down to. And you can know that all of our fire engines go on first aid calls as well as in paramedic runs as well as fires. So,
well, Chuck and Mark, I can't thank y'all enough for stealing time out of your weekend to come down and share the story of the museum with us.
No, we enjoyed it. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We did too.
Hallofflame.org. Hallofflame.org. Open today at 9 o'clock. Dad, you may just have to do the last 2 hours of the broadcast by yourself.
Okay.